Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in our series in the Gospel of John. Again, our verse tells us why the book's here, verse 20, 31 of chapter 20. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. He's talking to Christians here, unbelieving believers. Is that possible? Not only then, it's very possible right now. Let's look at it. Verse 19. Yet a little while, Jesus is speaking here, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So we have two groups. We have the world, and we have 11 men that he is talking to here. He said, I live. He's referring to the resurrection. The angel of the Lord said unto the woman, fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, verse 20, at that day ye shall know, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What day? The resurrection, particularly. He said, at that day, you'll understand. John 13:7 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, one of the reasons is that at that time, the Holy Spirit had not come and was not indwelling in those 11 men like he is in us today who are Christians. And so he said in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so that day, not only referring to the resurrection, but when the Holy Spirit, after Jesus went back to heaven, would be sent, and he would guide these 11 men, and you and I, if we're saved, into all truth. 21, he went on to say, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. He, look how personal it is here. The word he occurs 10,431 times in the Bible. The word him occurs another 6,667 times. It's a very personal thing. And he says here, to him, I will manifest myself to him, to the individual. I remember not long after I was saved, I was a teenager, and my parents would go to a Bible camp every summer, and the fellow who was speaking that year, he would get up every time and say, now let's remember, there's only you and I here. There's just the two of us. I'm talking to you. I don't know if I like that or not. I kind of like fitting in the crowd. You hear some convicting thing. Oh, God speaking through him to me. Yeah. I will manifest myself. It's very personal, Lord says. I will do that. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Not just have them. We all have them. And he, that is Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now this was at the Passover supper there, and then they had a communion service after Judas was gone. And Peter said, I'm ready. Don't worry about me. Everything's just fine with me. The Lord said in Luke 22:31, it's recorded, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter answered, said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. Oh, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, no, you're not ready, Peter. Matthew 26:74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Just a few hours after he said, I am ready. Now again, very personal here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he, look at it, it's he, it's very personal. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, individual, will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. It reminds me when Jesus had a multitude of people coming to him, and they said, teach us what we need to do the works of God. In John chapter 6, he told them, and at the end of the chapter, many of his disciples followed him no more. And Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go away? And when he asked that question, we read, then Simon Peter answered. He was always quick to answer. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. That was Peter's answer. What did Jesus say? Well, that's great, Peter. You've got some good insight there. No, he didn't. He rebuked him. He said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? What is this we stuff, Peter? You speak for yourself. It's an individual situation. It's like Nicodemus when he came to Christ and acting like he wanted to get saved. And he said, we know that thou art a teacher. What do you mean we? There's only you and me here, Nicodemus. No, he was there representing the Pharisees. Well, when we stand before the Lord, and we will, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, as Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive of the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's the judgment seat of Christ, which is for Christians only. When we stand there, it's going to be as individuals. And we're not going to say, well, my church, my this, my group, I was one of those fundamentalists. No, I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, ma'am. It's going to be a very personal thing when we stand before the Lord. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, he's gone, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, this is a very sensible question for them. See, they understand that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, this Messiah is going to set up his kingdom, going to kick out the Romans, and he's going to rule the world, and we're going to rule the world with him. So they ask the question, how is it that we don't understand? You're not going to take over the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Now, he said, I don't understand, Judas said here, not Iscariot. He said, no kingdom? And Jesus changed the subject to love. He said, look, if a man love me, it's interesting that John 21, and we'll look at that in depth when we get there, but three times Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me, Peter? Oh, yeah, you love me. Thinking back there in the Garden of Gethsemane when he began to curse and to swear, say, I know not the man. Oh, I'll follow you even to death. What's the problem here? The problem is a lack of love. Then in John 21, after the resurrection even, and Jesus meets with those disciples on the seashore, and they understand, you're not kicking the Romans out? That's 2,000 years away? And Peter said unto them, those disciples, I go fishing. Forget it. if we're not getting them after 3.5, I mean, total self-absorbed here. What about Jesus? And so Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, whether he understand them or not. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. It all comes back down to how much do we love Jesus. 1 Samuel, and this is very encouraging, 16:7, says, the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now can you think about when Peter cursing and swearing, man looks on the outward appearance. What about those unsafe people? What about the little maiden that asked him about whether he was a disciple? What's all the soldiers who came out to get Jesus there, and the Pharisees, what are they thinking about Peter? They look on the outward appearance and say, what a hypocrite. What about the other 10 disciples? Well, they fled with him, but at least they weren't cursing and swearing. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Now, that's the outward appearance problem. Wherefore, Hebrews 12:1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which also besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before him. I've heard it preached that people in heaven are looking. That's nonsense. He's just talked about all of those people who had so much faith in the Hebrews chapter 11, and they had witnesses watching them, and he says, now we also are compassed about with so great a call of witnesses. People are watching, and they look on the outward appearance. But thank God, the Lord looks on the heart. Three times in John chapter 21, Peter said, thou knowest that I love thee, and I'm sure he did. However, the Lord said unto Simon, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. See, Jesus knew. He looks on the heart. He knew that Peter loved him. He knew how much he loved him and how much he didn't love him. But he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So let's be careful, because man looks on the outward appearance. Thank God, the Lord looks on the heart. Let us do the things that we do that will glorify God. Be sure to be with us for our next program as we continue in this series in the Gospel of John.